What's that? Oh, hey. I know I can get pretty loud around here. I'm just working on getting this press up and running. Oh, and while I have you, just to let you know, the episode this week is part two of a longer interview. So if you haven't heard the first half, you'll be jumping in on this and you might not know what's happening. So I would say maybe check your feed and look for part one before you continue on to today's episode. As always, thanks for checking out the show, the printcast. I love knowing that you're digging it, and there's a whole new episode next week, so keep your eyes peeled for that one, because that's going to be great too. So have a good one and enjoy. I hope you liked the interview today. Bye, and see you next week.
This is the printcast, the best podcast about printmaking ever made.
So I know for me, I had various opportunities to veer off into like different careers, you know, but somehow print has always been the winner and art in general, you know. Yeah. But have you guys ever had the thought of like, if you weren't doing print and illustration and design, like what else you might do or what might you be suited for?
I don't know if I'm suited for anything else besides that. I mean, I've had like varieties of jobs like throughout, like we haven't just done, like James has been full-time with Little Friends for
since 2005,
yeah,
so 14 years.
Wow. But I would have That's jobs crazy. Off and on because we were really dedicated to like paying off all of our debt, including our student loans, yeah, before we moved to Los Angeles. So I would have, you know, various jobs, like after we both left the Discovery World, I started working as like a graphics manager at an investment bank, and then, which I guess is still within the realm of like, you know, art kind of. And then when I moved out here, I was working for USC in a completely like non-art job, just because I was like afforded the opportunity to have that job, and I was just like, this is an amazing opportunity, and
we're
why
moving,
not?
Why
you
not?
Know,
like, we'll do this. If you don't like it, quit. And yeah, then we'll just do Little Friends.
Exactly. Because I know that Little Friends is always there. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Like, yeah. Was Little Friends at the place where, like, was it similar to the level it is now? Or did it grow substantially since you got here?
I don't know. I mean, I think it's...
It's always been able to support the both of us.
Yeah.
But it's like... You know, how fast.
We're greedy.
Yeah.
Not so much. I don't know.
Yeah, we're so greedy. We want to pay those
like, we're not hiring anybody.
Off.
We're keeping it all. Like.
No, I mean, like, that, you know, it is, yeah, like, we just want to, like, live a nice life. And for us, a nice life means, like, no debt. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So that was important for us to get there. And then, like, beyond that, you know, other people have, like, obviously expanded their, little empires to be actual design houses, and that never interested us, you know.
No, I don't know. This is kind of what I imagined my adult life to be like, that we would just make art.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't think that we would have like employees or anything like that, or like, you know, a front desk with a secretary or something. That would be that'd be a waste of time. Like, it's just so much more fun. I feel like we've succeeded by staying small. Like, we have never overexpanded. We're just always making art.
Sometimes it's hard. Like, you know, I said before, we don't like to say no to things. So it's hard to do everything that we do.
Right.
Especially because, you know, we're doing so many events, and the events take time. And then, you know, that takes time away from actually designing new work for the events.
Right. Yeah. And we keep saying yes to for hire work,
yes,
like illustration work, but then that's a print you're not doing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And like the print has a long tail where like maybe you're making tens of thousands of dollars over the course of a few years, as opposed to like one job and maybe, mm-hmm, and they're paying, mm-hmm, you a fixed amount of money.
Yeah. But, and so that gets frustrating sometimes just because we are just two people and we're limited in that regard to like what we can do. But the idea that we also have like the freedom to take on whatever project we want and not be too concerned about payroll or, you know, anything that, you know, anything with regard to like bringing other people on,
right,
has been nice. Just, I mean, it just works for us, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I can see that. It is, it gets more complicated, and from some of the printers I've talked to, you know, just as like friends and stuff, like, mm-hmm, some of them have grown to where they have like big businesses and like flashy retail storefronts, mm-hmm,
yeah,
you know, with a shop built in the back. And And what they were talking about, one of them in particular, he was saying how it's just like, you don't realize you have this like gravity of like two designers on staff, and like, yeah, they have like families, and like they can't be paid like, yeah, $38,000 or something a year. It's like they, mm-hmm, they need like a real wage because, yeah, you want them to stay because they're that good, and, yeah, like they have kids, they need insurance, and like, yeah, that means like your sales have to be at a certain level all, absolutely, the time, or it high enough in the peaks of the year.
Yeah. Yeah, and that's the other thing, like James just said, like it changes what you do. Like we always want to be able to take chances, and we feel like we'd be less likely to take chances if we were worrying about that sort of thing. And we would never, like anybody who's ever asked to be an intern, we've just told them like, no, because we'd want to pay you. And, you know, we're not sure if we can pay you what we'd want to pay you. You know what I mean?
Like, wow, yeah.
Because I would never want anybody, I get it, because I would offer services for free when I was in college just to have the opportunity. But I wouldn't feel right about doing that to somebody. You know, like I wouldn't want them to work for free for me.
Yeah.
So.
And I just think of all the things that we would, if we couldn't take chances, if we had to like be extremely business oriented, we'd have to jettison so many parts of our practice, like traveling and teaching at universities, mm-hmm, and stuff. Like that's a thing where our illustration rep, once he met us because we were visiting at Akron, and he lived out in Ohio, and so he drove up and met us, and he was like, he was like, why would you even do something like this? And that seemed like such a stupid question to me.
Well, it's not,
because it's, I mean, it's not, to me, it's this amazing week where like, yeah, we're designing and printing a print with students who are so excited.
The diplomatic
way. And they pay us to do it. Oh my God.
The diplomatic way of saying it is, it's a difference of opinion.
It's a difference of opinion. But I was just so shocked by the question.
I mean, I get it though, because it's not like, you know, going, I'm sure like there are certain echelons of people where they go and they speak at a university and they make a lot of money.
Oh,
like,
yes.
It's not a huge moneymaker for us to go to a university as a visiting artist, but no, for, yeah, us, it's so rewarding, right, because it's just so nice to, one, see people learning about print and being genuinely excited about it. Like, that is something that, like, once you're divorced from the, you know, academia, you don't get to see very often.
Totally, yeah, yeah.
And it's just so rewarding for me to, like, teach somebody, like, you know, let's talk about, like, the recent Louisiana trip. Like, we had a lot of kids. We were pulling a 5-color edition of 100 throughout the time that we were there. And we had a lot of kids come through the classroom that had no, like, background in print. Or I think a lot of kids weren't even art majors. Right. And they were terrified to screw things up. Like, that's what I kept hearing over and over. Like, they didn't want to mess it up. And I was just like, I have 100 of these. I have 100 of these, and I'm here for you. And I just want you to feel like you're
making something. Like, if the edition looks bad when we're done, but you learned, great.
Yeah.
You know, like, so what?
Yeah, absolutely. So, like, the fact that I could help people, like, work through just being so scared to, like, make a mistake, you know? Right. Was super rewarding for me. I mean, so, you know, obviously, like, do we make a ton of money doing that? But I wouldn't not do those. Yeah. But again, it's like, that's a week where we're not working on design,
right,
or illustration or, like, making a new print. And so would I be able to, like, justify that if I had an employee? I don't know.
No.
You know?
Yeah, yeah. Well, when you get like invited to a program somewhere to be a visiting artist, like, how does that negotiation work out? Do you have like a number that you sort of have to ask for to make it worth your while, because you know, because you're not here and you're not producing what makes your income, it's like you have to trade your income for them to pay.
I think
you know
like when they offer and it's not enough, you're like, oh,
it's usually like, it's like $1,000 or so, I don't know, like it's something
slightly higher, like we make
1,000 to 1,500
ish. We make more than that, but like not much more, you know.
Yeah,
and then
we're in that middle range.
Yeah,
and we're not Zhu Bing.
I don't think, but even then, I mean, even those people at that level don't make that, you know, they're still just getting kind of like a token sum.
Yeah,
like,
exactly.
Yeah.
So I mean,
for them,
yeah.
I feel like at all levels, you're getting a token sum. So if you're like, you know, you've just graduated, but people are really interested in your work, you're getting what you think is a token sum.
Yeah,
and then like we think we're getting a token sum.
Yeah, I mean, like our first talk was at SGCI when it was in DC in like 2004, and we made the princely sum of $0.
Oh, but they flew us out.
But they did
flew
fly
us out.
They
put us up,
which
was
amazing.
That was nice.
Well, and that's the thing is, like, you know, we. For that too, I guess that was a good learning experience, because we were speaking on the student panel, and like, you know, we know that, you know, it's all pretty much donation based, like everybody's time. Right. But because we were a flat broke, we were just like, can somebody help us out? Like, so we wrote a grant so that we could have money to go to DC. And then one of the people that was working with the conference that year helped find a place for us to stay. Right. Because we were just like, we can't, that's insane to me, the idea that I would go into debt to do something like this. You know what I mean?
Oh, I totally agree.
I can't justify that.
I think, not to speak to SGCI, but just things in general, it's like, I can't justify doing the thing if it's like ignoring that people need to like sustain mm-hmm. and
right.
people, you know, an organization or a company wants to borrow from your talent and have you come and do something mm-hmm. or speak to something. And it's mm-hmm. like, it's, you've worked your whole career to get right. to where yeah. you know all this stuff and you can offer what you're going to offer. And it's like, yeah. that deserves something in exchange.
It
not,
does.
Not just being featured. Like that's not worth,
agree.
You know, you can't pay your rent with featured artists
no.
on
and
your resume
that,
or something.
You know, for a like, lot of those conferences, you know, they exist on the fact that like, you know, there's a lot of professors who are getting paid by, you know, their college will help them
totally,
travel
yeah.
there.
Yeah.
But then the problem is, and, you know, this isn't like specific to SGCI.
This is all of
this
them.
Is all
any of
them.
Sure.
I feel like you end up getting the same speakers over and over because it's always this,
the people who can be comfortable doing something for nothing.
Yeah. Right. But, you know, that's just a side note. Just, you know,
that doesn't have anything to do
that
with
has nothing to do with anything.
No, I know. It's a whole bag of, yeah.
Yeah.
But
like, usually what we'll make sure that we get is, like, you know, we'll get a speaking fee and then travel. And we make sure that there's some money or there's a place for us to stay. Like, it doesn't, we're not fancy. Like, you know, sometimes we'll stay, like, with a professor if we know them, you know.
Yeah.
And then... sometimes they'll have like a per diem for us for food. And then we try to make sure that there's a place for us to
sell our
an opportunity to sell
yeah.
our work, because that will help fund the visit and make it more like, okay, we can take a week off work.
Sure.
You know?
Yeah. Yeah.
I
gotta
mean, like,
feel good.
The best
right?
case
like,
scenario is you get all of that, you sell a bunch of work, and then you come home with an edition of prints that you can sell. And then, mm-hmm. and then when you add everything up, it's a lot of money.
Mm-hmm.
Like, yeah.
But like in while you're doing it, it's not very much.
It can be a little dicey, I'm
yeah.
sure.
And
yeah.
it's work too, you know.
So. Right.
It can be exhausting. Like in at KCAI when I was teaching there, it was like they'd bring in somebody and it's like they do a lecture. The lectures for whatever reason were 8 a.m., which is
oh
horrible.
Oh my God.
Horrible.
Did anyone go?
The students had to be there.
Oh,
but it was
okay, okay.
but it was like you're
I
in like
love
a dark
a mandatory
room.
Mandatory lecture for my
it was like a dark room slide talk at 8 a.m. when they're all dying because
yeah.
they were up late and like yeah, but anyway, like they'd do that, and then it's like they're critiquing all day, and then they have to go to like meet a mm-hmm. bunch of other people.
Yeah.
They have lunches booked every day,
mm-hmm.
sometimes dinners and stuff
mm-hmm.
with people, and it's just for three
oh,
or four
yeah.
days. Like
yeah.
man,
we
good
definitely
luck.
Come out of it like a little
shell shocked,
but usually it honestly makes me feel good afterwards because you know, I mean, like as with a lot of artists or anybody who's working on their own thing, you don't spend a lot of time with other people. You know, like, we're lucky that we have each other and we're working with each other. But, you know, especially when we're in Milwaukee and we didn't know a ton of people, we were mostly, like, it was us and our, like, mailman. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, that was, like, you know, the UPS man was really friendly. but we didn't see a ton of people. And so the idea that we can go somewhere and, like, we're all, like, I had this moment, again, like, to talk about Louisiana because it was just such a great experience. I had this moment where I was like, I'm sitting here and like I'm talking to this guy and we're just talking about like print. And it's so nice because that's what I like and that's what he likes. And
right.
like we get a chance to talk about print and other stuff, obviously. But it's just such a nice opportunity that like you don't really get to have when you're like, you know, working on your own stuff in your house.
Right. Who are you going to talk to?
Yeah.
You
know? It gets you out of the studio because
yeah.
it gets very isolating, I think, for lots of us.
Yeah.
Well, so in looking at the things you've done and like your CV, I was kind of, you know, glancing through a lot of those things. Like you've been in like books and, you know, worked with like a lot of really reputable people mm-hmm. or been featured in reputable magazines and publications. It's like, what, I don't know. I guess I'm looking for like, what are some of the highlights of that? Like, Because it's gotta be crazy to be like working with like Disney, and there's a point where it's like you almost get used to working with like big badass companies and people. Right. But
I
it's
never
like
get used to it. I never.
It's
ever,
always weird.
It's always weird for us. I mean, the thing about it is like, and what I've always said, you know, because we started out as being concert poster artists, but I'm first and foremost a fan, and so it's hard. I always have to bite that like fandom back because it's not a good look.
Especially out here in LA. You're supposed to be a professional.
Yeah, I'm supposed, supposed to be cool. But, you know, I have a tendency to get like super excited about the things that we're working on. And like, I mean, like when we're working on things like, you know, you mentioned like the Disney thing, like we did the end credit sequence for the Nutcracker and the Four Realms, and we did it. We did probably like 50 plus illustrations
over
2.5 weeks, which is like an insane amount of work. And so when you're in it, you're like, oh my God,
I'm going to die.
This is so hard. But then like, so it's hard.
You get very snippy. There was a point where we were very snippy and I feel terrible. To this day.
Again, like we're so Midwestern that to us, very snippy was like being like, this is really hard. Like, I think that that's literally what we said. And then we immediately apologized.
Because there was like silence on the other end. It's like, I have crossed a line.
Yeah, I don't think you crossed a line. I think he was probably
this is really hard. I'm probably going to have to stay up all night.
I think that's what James said. And I think the guy was literally taking a glass of water. Or like drink from a glass of water. And like, James was like, I am so sorry. Oh my God.
Oh
but like,
my God.
So when you're in it and you're like working on it, it's like, you know, there's not a ton of time to like reflect on like how cool it is. But definitely, like, you know, before and especially after the projects, it's just like, was that my life? Like, I got to
absolutely
do that?
And sometimes sometimes it feels weird in the other way where I'm like, well, I worked so hard. Like, I'm used to Melissa and I controlling every aspect of our output. And then when you do something for a corporation where you're a big part of it, but then you're not in charge of it from the beginning to the end.
Mm. Yeah.
Like, and you see it at the end and you're like, I wish that so-and-so rose to the level of what we were trying to do. I don't know. That can be hard, where you're like...
You want to micromanage everybody.
Well, not even micromanaging everyone, but I'm just like, I'm working. I'm going to kill myself to get this done. And then like later you see, well, that was all it was going to be? Well, I could have just like...
Yeah.
Well, yeah. It's like a big version of working on a school project.
Oh, yeah, totally. Yeah.
But yeah, I mean,
Somebody's like, Ireland is a land of contrasts. And you're like, I worked so hard.
Look at my painting of Ireland.
Of James Joyce.
Yeah, exactly.
No, it's hard because, you're like an interim person. So it's you don't, versus like when you do all the other work you do, you're literally seeing it all front to back to finish, to even to meeting the make the buyer, you know, you're
absolutely
full spectrum involved. And when you work on a big thing, it is. But then, when you get on the bigger stuff you get on, it's like, you kind of don't know where it came from. And then you have these weird scattered meetings where you kind of know what's happening and then you do it and then it's done. And you're just like, did I do that?
Absolutely. Like, and sometimes it's hard where it's like, you'll do something and you'll work really hard on it and it never sees the light of day. And you're like, oh.
She hates that. I love it. I am so delighted by that.
That's never a good thing. I mean,
I love it. It's my favorite.
And that stuff's like proprietary, so no one will ever see it.
No one will ever see it.
You can't even reuse it.
No, we can reuse it.
You can.
Well, sometimes,
a lot of cases.
Sometimes.
Sometimes.
It depends on
you have to read the
contract. Yeah, exactly.
But like, oh, I love the idea. I'm not going to go over the whole story.
Oh, James loves a kill thing.
My favorite one was, it was BBDO, and it...
You said you weren't going to go over the whole story.
What's BBDO? No, go into one.
Anyway,
BBDO is an agency.
I won't say what the client is, but because BBDO, they were so nice.
Yes,
but
they were very lovely.
They got us to do this thing where they were going to, for a brand, we were going to make posters for an in-person event that they were going to do. And we did the design, and it was great. And everyone was so happy. And then like it went over to the client side, and they were like, kill this thing. Kill this whole thing.
And we were like, it was like ready to go. So it was like done. We were, you know, the next step would be like
printing.
We get paid. You know what I mean?
Yeah. So it was just so wonderful because, like, we got the design back. We got not a kill fee, the whole thing.
Well,
and then the money for the printing that hadn't happened yet.
Wow.
Like they were so generous with us because I think
BBDO
they were annoyed with the client for like passing on this thing. and we turned it into a print, which I won't say which one it is, but like we have sold so many of that fucking print. Like you have no idea. Like they blew it. Like, well, this could have been, you know, theirs.
Again, to be diplomatic, I'm sure it just wasn't right for them at the time.
Yeah, sure. But it was, BBDO were terrific. Yes. But like, yeah. It was, I love it when there's the middleman that will advocate for you. We had another one like that that I definitely can't talk about. But like, that's a good story.
Yeah,
well,
it is.
Well, that's a win in the end. It like, is make, a, yeah. With all that. But yeah, if it, you know, there's stuff. Definitely, like, you never want to jump into doing, you can't put pencil to paper unless, like, there's, like, agreements and maybe mm-hmm. money, half yeah. the money in your hand yeah, and things yeah. like mm-hmm. that, you know? But it's, like, that's bad when people get psyched and then they jump in and then it's, like, it dissolves yeah. and they're just, like, I've been spending, like, 14 hours, like, on this because I'm pumped about it.
Yeah.
Like, you can't, right. you have to, like, wait for everything yeah. to, the process to make its way.
I don't know. I'm just sort of delighted by it because it's just, like, it's just a vapor in the air. It's, I don't know. She hates it. I like it.
Yeah. Well, what other big, like, groups or people or companies like stand out that you've worked with? Like, there's so many I saw on there, but it
well, you know, I mean, I talked about it earlier, but the project that I'm in love with right now, probably because I'm working on it right now,
we'll hate it later.
Yeah, no, I think I'll love it probably more because it'll be done.
Oh yeah.
We're illustrating a children's book for the Canadian imprint of Random House, which is called Tundra. It's like the children's imprint. And, you know, it's this great author, Emily Arrow, who's a children's musician, and she wrote a song, and then we came in and obviously illustrated it, but also sort of did like a storyline to go with the song, you know?
And it's about artist studios.
Yes,
the book is called, I should say, the book is called Studio, and it comes out in March of 2020.
But it's great because it's like, the whole point of it is like, you know, it's about the idea of like making a kid making their own space for creating art. And what we were super excited about was the idea of drawing like all these different kinds of studios
right.
so that kids could look at this book and be like, oh, this is a job. This is a right. thing you can do.
Yeah.
You know, because like, I mean, obviously you've seen like some of our work. We like to go overboard with like detail, but the detail we hope, trigger something in people who have knowledge of whatever we're drawing, you know what I mean?
Right.
And it makes it like, it makes them feel like
a certain way,
like super special and seen, like, so that, you know,
yeah,
it resonates more with them.
Yeah.
And so that's what we're hoping we've accomplished with that book. And that's why I'm just super excited about it, because it's just like, we got to draw like a bunch of fun artist studios, which is like, you know,
it's kind of our first foray, but like, as soon as somebody was like, would you have any interest? This is out of the blue, but would you draw like a picture book of artist studios? And I was just like, yes, are you kidding me? Like, yes.
Just like hold down the excitement. Like, I think so.
Like, yes. Like, Steve,
I know. Like, I'm like
sparks.
My hands over the receiver shaking. And I'm like silent screaming. Yeah, exactly.
Man.
But yeah, so that's super exciting because, you know, like I said, it just goes back into like us doing the stuff that we do with like colleges and stuff. I just like the idea of, because I didn't know that this was a job really that could have when I went to college. Obviously, I wanted
to. We might have even studied differently mm-hmm. if we knew what graphic design was like, if what illustration was like, and like what was out there for people who wanted to do that.
Yeah,
I agree. And I wish like those departments would intermingle way more often.
Every time we go to a university,
that's what we fight for. Like the first thing we do is we go and we try to find the graphic design professor. And mm-hmm. we're like, hey, we're here and you need to bring as many of your kids up.
Yeah, it's always interesting to see because we'll be brought in by different departments or divisions,
yeah,
I should say.
Like, true.
We'll get brought in by illustration. And then we'll get brought in by printmaking. Occasionally, schools will have it together enough so that, like, we'll get brought in by, like, a couple different disciplines. But so often, they're, like, there's, like, weird infighting.
Totally.
And I understand,
yeah. College.
There's always politics in academia, and it's very difficult because, you know, you have such a long lifespan. It's like buying a house, and these are your neighbors now. And, like,
right.
What if you hate them? What if you don't like your neighbors? I mean, you're there for, you're going to be,
you're like, look at the way
time.
He keeps his lawn.
Yeah, you know? Exactly. Just like, but, like, you know, for us, that's the thing that we always advocate for is, like, we need to make sure that like the illustrators are there and the graphic designers are there and the printmakers are there at the very minimum. And then like, you know, if you know, you have, we can speak at a very, very rudimentary level about like any sort of animation stuff, but you know, I mean like, you know, just different disciplines. Like, I think it's weird. Like, and I remember when we were in college too, like we'd only go see like, or we'd only be told to go to see the printmakers.
Yeah.
And it was
like, what a shame.
I wish I would have seen more sculptors, you know yeah. what I mean? Like, I wish I would have seen more painters because
they have something completely brand new to talk to us yeah. about, you know?
And yeah, at a point, it's so
this,
weird.
It's just a job and we're all just trying to like do this for the rest of our lives. And so to get a different perspective than what you would normally get in like your own medium is, I think, valuable.
Yeah, I think it's weird. And it could be, the thing is like, I don't know because I haven't been teaching actively for at least like 3 or 4 years, I mm-hmm. guess now, but like, but yeah, it always seemed kind of like most of, at least printmaking students, like most of them want to go into this like realm where it's like pseudo art, pseudo commercial, mm-hmm. like kind of mixture. They mm-hmm. want
to
maybe like
have to.
Do stuff at a fair, but they want to like make art for a gallery. And yeah. it's kind of like everything's mashing up
yeah,
now.
It's sort like, of like an omnivorous approach.
Yeah. And yeah. But it's like when you go through, it's like they're teaching you like litho and like additioning and all yeah. these, all these like antiquated concepts where it's just like the professors aren't up to speed a lot of the time with right. where the students are at and yeah. what they want. And they can't, the professors will not adapt, you know, because they're just like showing well, what they want to show in a classroom
if,
or
if
something.
If you're at a yeah. university where they have a litho professor position, like, what are you supposed to do? I mean, well, I yeah. feel bad for them.
I mean, honestly,
I don't feel bad for them. Litho is wonderful, but, you
it's,
know.
It, I get what you're saying, though, because it's hard. It's like, you know, you taught, like, you know just how much demand the university can make on your time
yeah.
just to, like, maintain your position. And then, like, the idea that you'd like go and try and figure out like this thing that other people, you know, like trying to sell your work at like a fair, like, you know what I mean? It seems insane to have somebody try and do that. But that's, I think, what is good about us being able to go and talk to these, because that is what we'll get brought in to talk about a lot is like
entrepreneurship.
Yeah,
that's the whole new angle yeah. now. But just even that's like a segregated, like they have like a course for entrepreneurial yeah. art things mm-hmm. and it's like a semester and it's like, what are you doing with that? Like, you're not going to know how to like
yeah
well, how are you going to progress if it's just a semester, you know?
They're still going to be basically teaching themselves like yeah. after school, you know?
Yeah.
But yeah, I've like at KCAI, at least where I knew things the most intimately, it was like the print department was great and they had a huge facilities and all this stuff, but then it was like illustration had a different building where they were building out a full print facility right. slowly but surely. And then like graphic design like has like letterpresses and other equipment and they, none of them share equipment. And it's just like, it makes no sense, but there's no way to restructure it either. There's no
Absolutely.
Fix because you can't combine the groups. You can't offer more classes. Totally. Like there's money and
yeah.
and staffing and all these issues
yeah.
that will
there's
make it
so
never
much
change.
Bureaucracy involved that, yeah, it's impossible.
Until there's like a mass movement of like, mm-hmm. literally all schools like are gonna push to like change in a certain way or something.
Right.
It's,
yeah.
I don't.
Well, that was
I
one of the
know
things
happen.
That just like disappointed us about when we, you know, because after we went to school for all of the 7 years that we went to undergrad for, we started looking at we thought we were gonna get our MFA, and or I should say plural, we weren't just gonna get the one. But,
yeah,
like, we were gonna do it together, and you know. That was what was disappointing about a lot of the programs that we saw was how separate they kept everything.
Right.
Because we were in undergrad, we had a lot of freedom.
Oh, you get to be a dilettante.
Yeah.
You know?
I mean, obviously,
which is
we
a dream.
We were lucky enough that we were just around for so long that like the professors that were in Madison at the time were like, just come critique with the grads. Like, what, you know what I mean? Like, what are
yeah.
we doing? You know, like, you've been here, you've taken this class like so many times. You know what I mean? So we were lucky to have that sort of hybrid experience of like partial grad,
partial being
undergrad.
Focused, partial being a dilettante.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. And so we didn't want to lose that when we went to go to grad school, especially
well,
considering...
Well, I think we'd already started, our business was already reasonably successful
yeah.
at the time. And we were like, how are we going to do this without giving everything up? And everyone was like, you got to give it up. You got
to
give it up.
And they wouldn't want you to do it in
no.
a grad
your
school
graphic,
setting.
Yeah.
They'd be like, you're making posters? No. Like, where's the art? And you'd have to critique
man.
It on this theoretical level.
Tell
and
us all about it. I mean, you're
yeah.
talking about our life.
Yeah.
Tell us all about it. I mean, because that's the problem. I mean, it's the great thing about the program at Madison is also one of the issues with the program at Madison is that, you know, they were one of the first schools in the nation to consider printmaking as a fine art medium versus a commercial medium. And
great, terrific, wonderful.
Which is
we
wonderful.
Yeah. applaud
yeah.
you for your contribution to print history.
Midwest,
yeah.
they established
yeah.
all of the school programs, 100%, like essentially,
like it is truly like one of the best printmaking programs in the nation, if not the best.
Definitely.
And I love them. Blah 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 blah.
But they're hard.
But they're
because they can't move backwards 1 inch.
Like
we can't blur the line.
I mean, I'm sure it's different now, but when we were studying, we you know were it felt like we were one of the first students that were trying to blur the line between fine art and commercial, and they were not okay with it.
Yeah.
Like, mm-hmm. not okay with it. And that was what our student talk at SGCI was about, too. And a lot of people were not okay with that either.
They came and then they stood up and walked out because we were the second on the panel to go.
Weird.
Yeah.
And I was just like,
I've been so curious. Yeah.
I was just like, I think this is meant to psych me out, but they don't know how nervous I already was. So yeah. I'm just going to keep rolling right through.
Were you like the keynote? Like the big.
No, it was like, the way that they did it was there were two students speaking. And so I guess we're considered one student. And then there was another student, and she was speaking about her, I think, going to Cuba and, like, her...
Oh, yeah. Yeah,
her experience, like, studying, like, the prints.
Cuban movie posters,
yeah,
and stuff.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, Eduardo Munoz.
Which was fascinating.
Yeah.
So it kind
fantastic.
Of, like, led into, like, us and our prints.
Especially
like,
since, like, at the time, we were just all about Eduardo Munoz's
yeah.
box.
Like,
oh, I have all these books of Cuban posters.
Oh,
yeah.
It's like, just so gorgeous. So I love that stuff so much. And so, you know... Once she was done talking, we started talking. And then, yeah, like James said, people got up and left. And I tried to not take it personally, but, you know, because I was like, it's a conference and people are busy and they're trying to get to a lot of stuff. But
I was like, it's just, you know, for no reason, it's the people who we go to school with.
But I will, yeah, I mean, our program was very hard for us. But at the same time, like, with all those fights in the critiques about, like, why are you making a poster?
Why is this happening?
Why should I look at the words? I don't want to read words on a print.
It like, made us be serious.
This shouldn't exist for a thing. It needs to exist purely as like, you know, expression of yourself. It made us really hone in on why of why we wanted to do what we were doing.
And what we were doing.
And
why we thought it was worthwhile.
Yeah.
Like, yeah.
Because we had to have these tough conversations over and over again with people who were maybe arguing in bad faith, but like it was to our benefit.
Yeah.
You know?
Because it really like, you know, it made us be like, this is why this is important to us.
And if
like,
you don't get it. Then
well,
like,
not even if you don't get it, but it's like we were able to speak at length about the, you know, the why of what we were doing without it being like too personal. Do you know what right. I mean? Like it could be sort of divorced from like our personal emotions.
Or yeah, or whether you were rooting for us as like
yeah
young printmakers or something.
Yeah, it's like if you were showing in galleries only with like the same work almost.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like they would almost just like take you in as one of their own, but
yeah.
for some reason, like being more commercially mm-hmm. motivated, more market driven and things, yeah. it's like that clashes with the fine art print world. And
yeah.
I kind of started in the fine art and then I ended up commercial mm-hmm. and it's like now I'm kind of like a hybrid. We
yeah.
a lot of us are
you
now.
I feel like you have to.
But
be.
I feel like when here's my opinion, just like in the short, it's like if you have an art show and you have a bunch of gallery work on a wall and you create a price list, mm-hmm. they're doing the exact damn thing that you are
yes,
and that
absolutely.
I do and that we all do.
Like,
it's like all of
hiding?
It is stuff for sale. You're making
yeah.
stuff for a market. Yours
absolutely.
Maybe is more for more
a
thoughtful of like who buys
yeah.
and like the market you're mm-hmm. going for. Whereas I think artists want to make like their work and then put it up, and then it's just like you hope to God it has any resonance or gets bought or
right.
you know. But it's just like that's ridiculous. If I were
yeah.
making like magnets or you know hubcaps,
yeah.
I wouldn't just make the most
the artistic
amazing hubcap
yeah.
I've thought of and then think I'm a genius and then put it up
this
and just be like, I
mother.
Hope everyone needs new wheels and they're gonna buy my wheel.
Yeah,
and it's just like you're fucking crazy. It's like
yeah.
you can't. But that's the approach of art, and I think it's so weird. And it's probably not all like that, you know. But
I'm sure it's not. But that, yeah, I think that it's
these different
that it's
mindsets
your experience and our experience, you know.
And SGCI, you know, I love it, and I'm damn determined to go
yeah.
without
oh, yeah.
without faculty funding or anything. I'm gonna have
oh,
to
yeah.
find a way to pay
we
it.
We usually go. We do like
yeah.
the vendor fair.
Yeah, like Puerto
that's
Rico is next
it.
Year. It's
yeah.
going to be super
Puerto
cool.
Puerto Rico is going to be cool. I don't know if we're going to be able to go, though.
And like, it's going to be very just different because of logistics,
mm-hmm.
and it's going to be really yeah. interesting. But like. It's something where it's like, I'm always, when I go, I'm just kind of like reminded, like, I'm not in the fine art
mm-hmm.
academic world anymore.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, the conference doesn't speak to me. Like,
yeah.
and
yeah.
it's just like, what the fuck? Because like all of the students of all these professors who are attending want the hybrid world.
Yeah.
But it's like, why can't you have like a flat stock happen with an SGC and like merge?
I don't want to like
merge it all.
I don't want to make excuses for that, but I feel like they do the hybrid thing, but they do it like once every 3 or 4 years.
Or it'll be like a talk at the, I mean,
like Philographica.
A few times.
Philographica
yeah.
was like a a way bigger thing than a normal conference would be.
I would love if there was something like that, you know, like a flat stock, but like divorced from like the sort of music aspect where it's just about like print, but it's about the kind of print that we're all familiar with.
Yeah. Popular print.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I mean, it's interesting going back to like what you were talking about, like how it's still commercial, like the gallery thing. I mean, and that was one of the things that was so important for us and was a driving force for us and still is a driving force for us is the democracy of print. Right. And the very idea that like, this is all commercial at the end of the day.
Right.
But what I'm hoping to do is not like...
Be a gatekeeper?
Not be a gatekeeper, not limit my audience based on the amount of income they make.
Yeah.
You know, like all I care about is the democracy of this and the accessibility of it and being able to have somebody be interested in my art but not necessarily have to buy into me and my whole thing as like a human being because like they've invested so much money. And then does that start driving what I make? You know what I mean? Like I've tried to keep myself separate from that. And the idea that like, you know, somebody can just come in and buy like one $20 print from me and that's their whole interaction, but they're so jazzed and like I'm super stoked and like it's just a good experience all around.
Yeah.
That to me is way more rewarding than like, you know, having a print in a gallery and like maybe it sells and maybe it doesn't, you know? Like,
no,
it and seems... you don't get to meet the person that buys it.
Right.
And
if you do, it's a weird interaction.
Yeah.
It's like a forced like, yeah.
Like you're all like, tense and it's, exactly. Everybody's dressed up and
or something.
Yeah. They like... wheel me out.
Yeah, no, it's weird. I only speak to this with like, I have all this passion obviously about the topic, but it's something that you just start to find like your place in the world and then you realize like, wow, like not everything is like suited to like where I'm at what I think about and what I want to see and experience in it. And it's still like, if I go to that conference or something like that, like, you know, Mid-American or something, I'll still gain a ton
and 100%.
I'll be so psyched. And like you meet all these people and it's like, you feel like you're with like this giant family tree of people who relate to everything you're doing and, you know, you learn things and, you know, it's a total win, but I've always just kind of felt like there's an expansion that I hope happens because it happened in the world like already a while ago.
I think that's a really good point.
I think it's tough because we're all these little islands, people who do the hybrid thing, because we're self-sufficient. And that means there aren't these overarching institutions.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So like when we were brought in last time to speak at SGC, it was Anchor Graphics and they brought us and Sonnet Zimmer in, and that was terrific. Mm-hmm. But you know, then Anchor Graphics next year, they bring in somebody else. They're not like beholden to the idea of popular print for the rest of their existence.
Yeah.
Like they're going to do all sorts of different things. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, it's tough.
And that could speak to why the hybrid, you know, a hybrid conference might not happen is because like, how can you get like the people who, you know, the 40 people who show up to like a flat stock in Chicago, the 44 booths or whatever, it's like, are they going to go to
Cape Girardeau, Missouri?
Yeah, Cape Girardeau for the conference when it happens there that year. And it's like, but it's just like, they won't make the money maybe, you know, it's like,
like
everything's untested. So it's like, it might just be way too risky on way too many people's plates.
I mean,
we are talking about an extremely niche group of people who are interested in both like academia and like
print.
Commercial print.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know?
Oh, that's true. I mean, because a lot of people, I mean, who make concert posters still and do this sort of popular print thing, they might not even be printmakers. Or maybe they were, but now they're not. Now they're illustrators.
Yeah.
And they have prints made.
Sure.
And, like, they know how to design. I mean, I guess they're still a printmaker if they can design a print and then hand it to a master printer. But, like...
That is interesting. Yeah, like, I mean, but, yeah, like, then I was going to say, like, but then there are fine artists who, like, hand off everything to master printers.
Absolutely. That's the thing. So I can't be too snooty about it.
Mm-hmm. It's like, yeah, I don't know.
I don't know. But it's, like, it's this weird little slice of people who, like... They design it and they print it and then they go out and sell it and they run it like a little business.
Yeah.
Like a little joke business.
Well, I hope somebody does it because Lord knows I don't have time.
I know. It's in the back of my head, I'm always like, I'll be the guy someday. But no, I have no idea how it would happen.
As my schedule allows.
We could all infiltrate the board of some organization.
Yeah. And just like, pretend like, we don't know each other.
Steer it, you know, like... well, so... Yeah, so you've talked a little bit about longevity and, like, what do you see doing, being at where you're at and, like, your whole growth over all this time, like, where do you expect to get in the long run? Like, what's next, or what, well, when you're like 30 years from now? Yeah, I'm assuming you'll still be printing because printers print for life. But yeah, like, that's what?
True. I mean, you know, like we were talking about before, just the very idea that I'm even able to do this is still amazing to me on a weekly, if not daily, basis. So it's hard to like look forward always and be like, with authority, yes, I will be able to continue to do this. Because I still can't believe that this is my job.
And for me, the aging thing is very interesting because Frank Kozik has definitely come up to us a few times and been like, I'm impressed by what you're doing, but you can't just keep doing this. You know, eventually you're going to be too old to act like a carny and travel around the country. He's used that word.
Who is he?
Frank Kozik.
Frank Kozik, the concert poster artist from the 1990s and the
80s. Yeah.
And now he's like, he runs Kid Robot.
Yeah, he's a fancy man.
Yeah, he's a very fancy person.
But he was one of the first people that really supported us and what we did, which was huge for us because he's like a very big name.
He's a big deal.
Yeah. But James was saying that he would come up to us at like Comic-Con, which is like, you know, we were talking about it.
He's been there too. So
yeah.
Like,
he's been doing it for years. So he knows that like, it's hard to do. And I think his point is well taken. I mean, it does, you know, we talked about how it can be very exhausting to keep the schedule up that we have. So like, one of the reasons why we were so excited to start doing children's books, is because that's kind of what we would like to do. We like the idea of, doing fewer and fewer events, like, but really making sure that like, these are the events that we want to be doing,
right.
Yeah.
That are super important to us. Still doing like visiting artist stuff. Cause I feel like that is just super
print focused stuff.
Yeah.
Cause that's always a winner.
But like, yeah, doing like illustration, like longer term illustration, larger projects like books, and then also just running our small print practice.
Right.
You know, I mean, we look to somebody like Milton Glaser and like,
oh,
that's kind of what.
Absolutely.
You know, that's what we would love to have happen for us is like basically to run our little practice until.
Just one guy with a shingle hung out outside his
house. Yeah.
And being an amazing artist for his entire life. That would be the dream. I think the other thing is we, was it last year or the summer before that? We got to go to David and Dorothy Weidman's house.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know if you know them. But
No.
Legendary LA printmakers. I mean, yeah. Dorothy isn't legendary in that she worked under David's name. But she is amazing.
Yeah.
Like, once you know which ones are Dorothy's, you're like, wow.
Yeah.
But we went to their house, and their daughter showed us, like, their studio and the prints that they made during their life and, like, just went through the archive with us for hours. I felt so good about, like, the idea that you could do this your whole life and, like, never contort yourself into some sort of weird thing that the market is telling you have to be.
Yeah, I mean, and like speaking of like Milton Glaser, like we once did like a portrait of him and somebody was like, you should send that to him. And in my head I was like, but
we can't do that. He's Milton Glaser.
Yeah, he's like so, so fancy. But I you know, sent it to his office assuming that it would just be intercepted by like one of his like 100 staff and he would never see it or anything. And I got a note back from him. So, yeah. That's always stuck with me because I strive for that level of accessibility and I hope that like I can keep that going throughout like our career. We can keep small but focused and still have like a level of accessibility so that people can approach us and talk to us about, you know, I mean, it's just the two of us, you know what I mean? I know our name makes it sound like there's more, but it's just the two of us. And I like the idea that people would feel comfortable to like talk to me about print because it's my favorite thing to talk about.
Yeah. No, that's a great point because you have to, like I've found multiple times, like if you reach out to your heroes, it's like for one, like they don't expect it and it's sometimes they super appreciate getting direct feedback and comments from people and you don't know what they're going to say. Some people might be unreachable too, but like surprisingly then, people like seem to be way more open than you'd ever think and it's terrifying to like my... This whole show is me cold calling all kinds of people. Like, and I'm just like I'm still kind of working on like the I met you once connection
or
somebody I know you,
but
I'm starting to like contact people I've never, like I've just admired them forever. Yeah. And it's just like, they respond and they're like, generally everybody's willing to do this and it's rewarding and cool and makes, and it brings it all down to a level where you realize like
human level.
Yeah, you realize like no matter how great anyone is, like they're just like a person somewhere doing their thing, and like they just happen to be better than a lot of people or did it longer or hit something along the way that made it more successful.
It's usually
you know?
A lot of like, luck is involved.
Totally, yeah.
Totally.
Absolutely. Well, so we're kind of, we've been going for a while, but like what, I love it. But what, do you have anything new in the pipeline or shows coming up and things that you can point out for people to check out?
Well, we're going to be at Comic-Con in July. We hope to have a good amount of new pins, patches, prints, and t-shirts. And
is that here or San,
that's in San Diego?
San Diego Comic-Con.
Yeah.
Okay.
And
there should be a jacket, but we don't know.
There should be another. Yeah, we're working on a collaborative satin bomber jacket. Last year, we also did a release with our friend Tuesday Bassin, and it was super successful. So we have another one coming out. We don't know if we'll be able to
have it at Comic-Con,
have
or,
it
if
at
it'll
Comic-Con
be after.
Or if it'll be an online release after. It kind of depends on you know the factory and how quickly the local factory is able to sew them, but
that's awesome. Though.
Yeah,
like what a cool object!
It's such a cool object. I have mine. It's not. It's upstairs. I forgot. I used to hang over there, but I
but now it's summer, so
We love like we love doing surface design. So it was really fun to work on because it's like the body that she created, and then like we got to like say like we'll have black go there and pink there, and then like you know design the patches and stuff. So it was super fun. But so that's coming out like
CatCon.
Yeah, we'll be at CatCon.
Oh yeah, what is that? I saw that mentioned somewhere and I was like, what could this be?
That's exactly what it sounds like.
I think actually a guy I work with maybe pointed it out to me before now that I think about it. But yeah, what is CatCon for people who don't know?
So like it's for people who like things that are cat themed for humans. And it's also for people who like cats and like to buy things for their cats.
I mean, it's exactly what it sounds like.
Yeah.
It's kind of a trip. It's fun. But if you're not in the mood for it, I mean, you're like, what,
well, if
why?
Maybe if you don't like cats, stay away.
Yeah.
I was going to think, if I don't go, I'm probably going to be like revolving around my cat at my house. Because like everything pivots around
him. Yeah, I mean,
we're just always doting of, you know. Like,
if you see our house, it's just like there's cat prints everywhere. Like...
cat hair everywhere.
Yeah, cat hair everywhere. But yeah, so we it's in its fifth year, and like we've vended every year. We did like the promotional graphics for it the first year. She actually, that's another good example of like why it's important to do these types of events. We were vending at a different event, and the woman who runs CatCon before this was obviously well before CatCon came up to us and said, you know, I'm thinking of doing this thing. Do you think you'd want to create a graphic for it? And we're like, absolutely. That sounds amazing. Like a cat themed convention. Yes, please.
It's like you were born for this.
Yeah. Like, and again, it's like, you know, we're in a booth full of our cat prints. Like, of course somebody like that would come, you know what I mean? Right place, right time. And, we're happy to be involved for its fifth year. And then what's
after that? Oh, San Francisco Renegade.
Well, so it goes CatCon, San Francisco Renegade, Comic-Con.
Then August we're mostly off, right?
August we're mostly off. We're doing Renegade Craft Fair in Chicago in September.
Maybe some pop-ups.
We're probably going to do some like a road trip pop-up thing maybe in August
Midwest.
Or September.
Then Japan.
Then we get back from Japan. And then something relevant to the
LA Print Fair.
The Los Angeles Printers Fair that's in Carson.
Have
you been? Oh, to
is that at the museum?
Yeah,
museum. You know, I didn't get to go last one. Yeah. I was going to do a booth
fun.
Even, and I was just like, I can't do that.
I was just
like so new to here.
Yeah,
I was.
Just go and like, it's 2 days now. Like it's expanded since we started doing it. It used to just be one day and now it's 2 days. And you know, it's just so cool. It's still a good, healthy mix of people who print their own work, people who print other people's work. And then vendors who like, you know, like Mohawk will be there and stuff like that.
Yeah.
And it's just super fun. Like there's so many college kids that come to it that are really excited about like the opportunity to be able to like meet different printmakers and like get little paper samples and stuff like that.
Like for something like that, like I guess it's like letterpress museum, right? So it's like, are the price points generally kind of around like posters and stuff like
it
that?
Depends. Or it really
do people
ranges.
Come in with like woodcuts that are hundreds of dollars?
Yeah, like there's some booths that are like super fancy. And
then there's weirdos like us. Yeah. We're like, hey, take everything must go.
Yeah. We just approach every single day as an everything must go.
Yeah, sale. Every day is like going out of business sale. It's been like that for 15 years.
Yeah.
Going out of business for the past 55 years. Like we're, no. Well, yeah, yeah. I'll definitely be at that this coming...
Fun.
Yeah, in the fall, right?
October,
yeah. October, yeah. Can't think of it. Is there anything else? Oh, yeah. Where can people find you online?
Oh, and people can find us online. We're better at updating our Instagram, which is sad because usually we only update it like once a month. But our Instagram is @littlefriendsof because @littlefriendsofprintmaking was too long. And we're the same on Twitter @littlefriendsof, but you're mostly just going to see me liking political posts. not so much posting.
Our website's thelittlefriendsofprintmaking.com. But you can just Google it. We're the only one in the book.
I think so far we're still the only Little Friends of Printmaking.
Oh, I should say we're doing monthly posters for our friend Rhea Butcher's comedy show at the Lodge Room in Highland Park. So if you're on the east side,
yeah, that's
come on out because we come every week and we sell them. Like we only make like 20 posters.
Yeah,
but, like,
we sell
it's
them
fun.
For like $10, but it's such a good time. It's a great, it's a $10 show.
We're taking a page out of Dave Clock's book.
I was going to say, it's the meltdown model.
Oh, yeah. Like, he did it every week.
I don't know how he did
which
it.
Which, someone reminded me of that, because people were talking to us about what we were doing for Rhea, and they were like, it's like Dave, only he had to do it every week. And I was like, how?
It's insane.
And the answer is he was so young. And like,
no, I know,
Well, even still, though, I mean, so focused. So it's like, I can't say enough. I mean, we are all like the Dave Clock appreciation
Society at the table.
But like,
I know, we should all meet like every other Tuesday or something.
I wonder what he's doing right now.
I think dues are due.
Did they get paid to Dave?
No, to me. This is all a front. But yeah, I mean, like the fact that he did that weekly is insane to me because just to do it monthly is like, oh no, another one. Oh God.
It's hard. It's hard to keep up. Like it's like doing this show. It's like I take a week or two off and then I'm like, oh shit, like I shouldn't have sat on my hands like that long. Like I need to get back.
Because you take like a day off and then all of a sudden that turns into like a week and then you're just like, oh no.
And then you have all the work in front of you. You know, it's not like you can just jump right on it. It's like I have to email someone and get them to like let me to come into their home and you know, it's like
totally.
It's, you have to be ahead of the game.
Yeah,
and
it's crazy.
It's a hard thing to keep up, like a very regimented practice.
Yeah,
but it's been so long since we made posters in that way. Like, we'll make posters for like a corporation, but like a poster that you—it's not a poster-shaped thing, but it's really an art print. It's like a poster for an event.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
I mean,
it's
fun. When we were in college, we did one a week because we worked with the student
like a
union.
Oh, yeah.
Like, and so they would always, and we did one a week then, but like, you know, we had a lot more energy.
Yeah. And now, like, one a month is like, uh-oh.
Yeah.
That's a lot. Yeah, I saw the post about the one you did recently with, like, Snoopy and stuff on it. It was like an envelope.
We always try and sneak a little Snoopy in there.
Yeah, it was awesome. Snoopy, I go way back with Snoopy. You know?
Nice.
Well, cool. Well, thank you for having me on your show. No, it's
you're welcome.
Thank
you're
you.
Very welcome. I start scooping up all of this equipment.
Thank you for having me just here to your studio. This has been really great, and I love seeing where people work. And for me, this is like the best form of this happening is where it's like, you know, there's like real energy in the room, and we all get to talk about what we love, and it's like just a great connection, you know. So,
well, thank you for indulging our love of print, and thank you for coming over. We really appreciate it.
Yeah, well, definitely. Thank you for listening all the way to the end of part two of my interview with the Little Friends of Printmaking. I really appreciate you spending the time to slog all the way through to the very end where I'm here talking to you. But yeah, it was a really great conversation. I really enjoyed meeting them. They're two really interesting artists. They're so complimentary. It's like they're just one unit. I mean, hence the reason that they're a married couple, which we didn't really talk about, but I really admire the model that they've created for themselves. They get to do a lot of interesting things. They get to travel. They get to meet people. They get to make all this work that they really dig making. And that's a really hard thing to accomplish. I think it's what maybe a lot of us are trying to accomplish, searching for, looking for the perfect combination of things to make it work. And it's possible.
no matter how like daunting it seems, no matter how many people you think are on the scene and you're just like, oh my God, how can I compete of all people? But it's just like, that's what they thought. And there they are, you know, here they are with like a business that's been running and sustaining for, you know, over 15 years. And one final thing, I've actually got some new things in the works. With my new job, I've been feeling really inspired and really psyched to start on another level of production for myself and investment into the show. So I've got some new things in the works that I think you guys will all like a lot and should be kind of fun to, make some things for the show. So anyhow, have a wonderful rest of your day and week, and happy 4th of July. Happy Pride. There's so many things happening that are just really exciting right now. And I hope everyone's just having a good summer so far. Yeah, may your inks be ungouged. May your squeegee blades be sharp. And this is Nick for the Printcast signing off. I'll see you next week with a brand new episode. Bye-bye.
You've been listening to the Printcast, a podcast about print shops, the artist, the process, and all the things we make. If you like what you were listening to, help us get the word out by subscribing and leaving a 5-star review and sharing with your friends on social media. You can find the Printcast on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Play, as well as on the website printcast.com. Music for the show is by Jazar. Voiceover provided by Jim Birdsall and Rhiannon Birdsall. Take care of yourselves and each other, and we'll see you again on another episode of the Printcast. Bye for now.